Good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Coming to you from the pollen capital of the known universe. I'm still dealing with an awful lot of this pollen bronchitis stuff, but we're going to try to do the program tonight anyway. If you lose your video transmission of this program, it'll be because I've turned it off. And the reason I would turn it off would be because I started coughing too much, all right? There's just no way out of this. I've got, what, two more weeks? 2 weeks before this hideous pollen season is over. Okay. It's the pollen and getting old that'll do it to you every time. A lot of stuff to talk about tonight. This was, of course, the big rally today in the nation's capital and in federal parks, especially around Virginia, around the country. What the deal was, this is the gun crazy, the penis extension boys were out in force today showing that, yes, by God, they will carry their guns wherever they want to go. Now, there's some irony here, but of course it's lost on these freaks. The way the Associated Press reported this, carrying loaded pistols and unloaded rifles. Dozens of gun rights activists got as close as they could Monday to the nation's capital while still bearing arms and delivered what they said was a simple message. Don't tread on me! Don't tread on me. Hundreds of like-minded but unarmed counterparts carried out a separate rally in the nation's capital. What's the matter, boys? Did you lose your nerve? Did somebody come along and whoosh, your testicles? I thought y'all were going to show up with all your guns. What happened, Kathy? Supposed to be a big gun rights rally in D.C. Well, it's illegal in D.C., I guess. They have, it's illegal to carry a handgun. Now, I guess they could have carried a flamethrower, a bazooka, been driving a tank. But anyway, the gun-carrying protesters in Virginia rallied on national parkland, which is now legal. It's legal to do that. You know why? Because Barack Obama signed a law making it legal. I mean, what are you going to do about these dumb bastards? What are you going to do? Daniel Almond, who organized the Restore the Constitution rally in Virginia, said he wanted to convene in a place where we can exercise our rights. He pointed in the direction of Washington. He said, over there, the Constitution is being violated in that we cannot bear arms over there, but out here we can bear arms. Well, the reason you can't bear arms in Washington, D.C., you dumb little freak, is because Washington, D.C., you can't even vote in Washington, D.C. So what about that? Ah, never mind. Anyway, among the speakers was former Alabama Minuteman leader Mike Vanderbogue, who has been denounced after calling for citizens to do another Kristallnacht, only this time not in Germany, in the United States. You know, throw bricks through windows of local Democratic Party headquarters. Anyway, Vanderbilt said the broken windows are a wake-up call. And many people feel threatened by an expanding federal government. You know what they did? You know what they did? They passed a law that said we could carry these guns over here in this park. Wait a minute, that's what we... Oh, never mind. Vanderbilt said to Cheers, we are done backing up, not one more inch, after he told the crowd that for too long Americans have acquiesced at the loss of liberty. What the hell is he talking about? What is he talking about, right? In an interview, Vanderbilt said he considers armed resistance justified only when they send people to our doors and kill us. You know, when did some cracker-ass freak from Alabama's paranoia become a rallying point for national policy, at least in the minds of these crazy people? When did that happen? These guys are funny. They really are. They're harmless. Trust me, they're harmless. I don't care what the Southern Poverty, what is it called? The Southern Poverty Law Center. I don't care what they say. These guys are jerks. They're harmless. They're like these little chihuahuas. That's what they are. Anyway, he suggested Vanderbo, the guy, the big he-man, this cowardly little twit who suggested throwing bricks through the windows of Democratic headquarters. He said that an arrest at the hand of federal government is tantamount to a death sentence, and that he would fight back. Specifically, he outlined a scenario in which people who refused to buy health insurance under the new health reform law would be subject to arrest, and that such confrontations could turn violent. That's right up there with the death panels. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Vanderboog, if you are so keen on worrying about people who are arrested by the federal government, what about immigrants who are now swept up, whether they're legal or illegal? Do you worry about them, you cowardly, cracker-headed freak, Vanderboog? Come and see me, Mr. Vanderboog. I'd like to talk to you. In Washington, there were signs among the gun-crazy people. And the reason I say gun-crazy is because there's nothing on the books. Matter of fact, over the past several years, virtually every single action the federal government has taken regarding gun laws has been to weaken the laws already on the books. Every single action taken, right? I am a gun owner. That's why I call these people pansy-ass, little yellow streak down the middle of their back, cowardly, thumb-sucking, hair-twisting, ignorant crybabies. And that's on a good day. We want our guns. Well, open your GDIs. They're right in your hand, you freak. Oh, my God. Anyway, in Washington, there were signs reading, "Which part of shall not be infringed confuses you?" Which part of you are a dumbass confuses you, right? And there were bright orange stickers saying, "Guns save lives." Guns save lives. Sure they do. Guns, if used exactly for what they are intended, like cigarettes, kill people. That's all guns are for. Target practice? Right. Another organizer of this mass of cowardly little crackers, a guy named Skip Coriel, said he chose the date, April 19th, to mark the anniversary of the Revolutionary War battles of Lexington and Concord, not about the Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh. That occurred on April 19th, you know, also. Now, also at this event was a 78-year-old woman named Audrey Smith, who came all the way from Clearfield, PA, who said she and a group of local teabaggers traveled to show their solidarity. Old Audrey, 78 years old, a little bit addled in the head, obviously, because Audrey says, "We'll support anything that is in jeopardy of being taken out of our Constitution." I mean, how do you even debate these people? How do you even talk to these freaks? "We'll support anything that's in jeopardy, you know, like a right to kill." Ugh. Just astonishing. And today, I think Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh want today to be declared a national holiday. I suggest it be called Beck Memorial Day. This is the kind of day 15 years ago, when Beck was still working in a bathhouse as a towel boy. This is the kind of day that 15 years ago that Beck, when he woke up and heard about the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building, he applauded. He clapped. He danced. He jumped around like a drop of water on a hot pancake griddle. He was just happy as could be. This is what Beck and Limbaugh and the rest of these right-wing freaks want to see happen again and again and again, endlessly. We'll be right back.
Nobody'd ever get shot because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more because everybody'd have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? We go out and shoot things. We go out and shoot.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I just don't get it. After all the rhetoric from these phony teabag patriot types, who obviously are a bunch of cowards to begin with, but after all their rhetoric, all their websites talking about, we're taking our guns to D.C. for a Second Amendment rally. By God, we're going to carry a... What happened to you little crybabies, huh? What happened? Were you afraid... The magic Negro is going to send the troops out and shoot you? Oh, God, these people. So today, the 19th, went down. Well, of course, there's still almost 3 hours left, so Glenn Beck and his people could pull something at this late hour. You just know Beck was just hoping that something bloody and murderous would occur today. I mean, he's been directing his minions to do this. Financial regulation reform bill, no, I'm not going to bore you, is working its way through the process in D.C. And it would set a new regulatory oversight of financial industry practices after the bastards almost broke the country and the world again. Now Goldman Sachs has been indicted for fraud. Well, duh. Goldman Sachs should be the first one. The rest of them should all line up now and get their subpoenas, their indictments. Rotten, rancid bastards. Anyway, as usual, this is something that will benefit the American people. As... health insurance reform ultimately will benefit the American people. And yes, don't email me and tell me we're all blurry. I noticed that. Why are we blurry? I don't know either. But since it is something that will benefit the people, the Republicans as a group are completely against it. The Republicans do not want financial regulation reform. They said Democrats say it'll prevent another Wall Street meltdown like the one that precipitated the U.S. recession. Now, the Republicans, of course, are saying that this bill will do is guarantee more bailouts, which is absolutely a lie. It's a lie. Senator Mitch McConnell, who is now the point man, he's the chief liar for this one. The top-ranking Republican in the Senate told CNN State of the Union that the Democratic bill would continue the Obama administration's intervention in formerly private industries. No, it won't, you lying little turkey. It won't. What it does is protect people from having their 401ks devastated, from having their life savings go up in smoke. Anyway, now, does this sound familiar? McConnell called for renegotiating the measure instead of bringing it to the Senate floor. See, it's already been passed in the House, and it's due to be brought to the Senate floor for debate. So what is McConnell saying? He's saying, well, I think we ought to start all over again. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. McConnell said, I think we need to get back to the table and get it fixed. We want to make sure that we don't set up a system whereby we empower the government to continue doing what they've been doing. First of all, it's a total non sequitur. It means nothing. This is why these guys are getting funny. I mean, they really are. They honestly believe there's going to be some kind of a Republican Party tsunami in November. Wrong. Anyway, he says, we want to make sure we don't set up a system whereby we empower the government. Hey, Mitch, you are the government. That's you. You're part of the government. You're a very powerful government dude there. You really are, Mitch. At least on paper. In reality, you have to get permission to go to the toilet. You know you do. Anyway, Obama on Saturday, during his weekly internet radio address, he said that McConnell was spreading misinformation, which is the polite way of saying McConnell is a filthy pig liar, another one of these southern white crackers that'll lie, say anything, because the magic Negro is doing things for the American public. He is. I'm not an Obama supporter. I've said that a million times. I don't believe he's gone far enough. I'll tell you a little bit more about this when we come back. We still have a few minutes. We still have a few seconds. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm looking at the clock wrong. Anyway, Obama said that McConnell was spreading misinformation, which means Obama said McConnell is a filthy liar, which he is. Obama said, quote, McConnell made the cynical and deceptive assertion that reform would somehow enable future bailouts when he knows that it would do just the opposite. Now, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, or shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, right? Isn't that what the great learned George W. Bush said? Something like that. So the last time it was death panels. This time it guarantees future bailouts paid for by the taxpayer, which is a filthy lie. Now what we need is Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin slicing open their wrists, oh please, please, and becoming blood sisters so that this horrible bill will be stopped, right? These guys are funny as hell. Now, we'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Have been water carriers for the super wealthy since like forever, since Adam and Eve and the rest of the Christian mythology. Republicans are useless, and people who vote Republican, seriously, you're cutting your own throats. But you know, you cannot tell people that. For some reason, they think Republicans are interested in them. Now the financial regulation reform proposed by Barack Obama. It was written in the House, the way all these bills are written, at least the ones that Barack Obama starts with first. And it's up for Senate debate. And, of course, all 41 Senate Republicans are saying, no, we're not going to sign it. No, because it'll help the American people. Senator Mark Warner, Virginia, who also this Sunday was on State of the Union, said the Senate bill includes what he calls an early warning system intended to spot signs of another crisis developing. It also contains a $50 billion liquidation fund to pay for the cost of closing down failed entities. Now, the Republicans are going to tell you that $50 billion is taxes, come from taxes. It doesn't. That's another lie that these filthy Republicans perpetrate on the American people. The banks have to put up that $50 billion. It comes from the banks. But, of course, the pig man and Beck, who loved the Oklahoma City bombing 15 years ago, they will tell you that that it's coming from tax money, which it's not. Senator Warner said the liquidation fund would mean Wall Street firms, quote, have to write their own funeral plan. I like that. End quote. And put down money in advance to ensure an orderly process to bankruptcy in the event of another crisis that they bring on themselves. McConnell, however, Mitch McConnell, whose wife, Elaine Chao, is strictly there for as his beard. Not there's anything wrong with that, but I wish you'd get honest. McConnell said Republicans believe the fund would perpetuate government intervention. Oh, yeah. Well, the baggers love to hear that phrase, don't they? The tea baggers. Oh, we don't want any government intervention. We want our liberty back. We want our freedom back. Thank God for corporate America. Corporate America will give us back our freedom. Not this Barack Obama. He's a commie. Haven't you heard? Oh, my God. Anyway, McConnell went on to say, you know, told another whopper. Here's what he said. Regardless of how the money is produced, see, it's coming from the banking industry. It is a bailout fund that sort of guarantees in perpetuity that we'll be intervening once again to bail out these big firms, end quote. Now, of course, it's a lie, but listen to the way it's worded. Regardless of how the money is produced. I mean, this guy is out of his mind. He's a lying little pissant who is happy to carry water for whatever big corporation gives him money. And now it's the financial services industry. Or I should say the financial services industry, because they only service themselves, so to speak. And in a strategy similar to Republican opposition to the health reform legislation earlier this year, Mitch McConnell called for restarting bipartisan talks. Let's go back and start over again instead of debating in the Senate what they passed in the House. You know, I want to see this happen. I want to see these cowardly Republicans filibuster this bill. You know what's going to happen? The same thing that happened in Washington, D.C. yesterday, or no, today. With the great big old macho militia types, we're going to take our guns and we're going to go to Washington, D.C. because we have a right to go there. That's what. And not one of these cowardly bastards showed up with a gun. But they went to the nearby national parks and strutted around. Look, here's my gun. Look, I got my gun. Look. That damn old government is infringing on our liberty. And, of course, it was a bill signed by Barack Obama that allowed these little cowards to carry their penis extensions into the federal parks. The irony here is so thick you could cut it with Mitch McConnell's tongue. You know what I'm saying? But it's wasted irony. These people don't get it. They don't. They never will. Oh, well. The next thing is tax reform. This is from BartCop.com, and BartCop, I got it from a website. But you can go to BartCop.com and find this. It's tax reform ideas. And there's a graph here that talks about the tax cut big picture. In 1955, the super wealthy, in other words, the 400 highest annual incomes in the United States, 400, in 1955, paid 51% of their income in federal tax. Income tax, 51%. The working class, that's us, the median family, income tax rate back then was 7.4%. In 1961, the super wealthy paid 42%, and we working class paid 10%. In 1995, the super wealthy paid 29.9%, and we working class paid 17%. Notice the trend? In 1997, the super-duper wealthy paid 24%, and the working class paid 16.9%. You notice that trend, huh? The wealthy pay less and less, while we pay more and more. In 2003, the super-wealthy paid 19.5%, and the working class paid 13%. And in 2007, the super-wealthy paid 16.6%, and we workers paid 13.6%. Now, let me ask you, if you were going to target a group of people in this country to pay their fair share, who would you go after? Right! The super wealthy. So, as Bartkop says, this is the same bait and switch. This idea that somehow the super wealthy deserve more tax cut. This is the same bait and switch Republicans have been pulling on brainless voters for decades. They say, we need lower taxes, but that means the super rich. Bush did the same thing, remember? In 2000, he said, you work hard for your money, and we think you should keep more of it. So what'd they do? They cut the taxes for the super rich, who don't work for their money. It's capital gains, it's money making money, it's thievery, it's fraud, it's theft. That's how the wealthy make their money. The super rich have had it so tough these past 40 or 50 years, right? There was a tax rate of 95% for the super rich. And under the Republican Party's Eisenhower, the tax rates were cut to 51%. That's the tax rate that gave the middle class central air conditioning and two cars. Then Jack Kennedy dropped the highest rate to 42%, and that helped us put a man on the moon. Then Reagan got tired of the super rich not being coddled, so he dropped the tax rate to 36%. Can we all bow our heads and say a prayer for how rough things are for the super rich? And now we're down to 16% for the super rich, and the country's bankrupt. Is everybody happy now? Huh? Here's the bottom line. The super rich are effing tired of paying their fair share of taxes. And through Fox News, they've convinced every jerk with bad spelling that this teabag party is about the little people. But it's not. So every time you see these baggers out there carrying their misspelled signs, you got to keep in mind that the wealthy, the Republicans, the conservatives, their plan is to destroy the government. The super rich are wolves. They're predators. They're vampires. They don't need protection from anyone. So they've labeled big government as the enemy that needs to be destroyed. Big government. Where's the big government? Oh, that's right. They passed health insurance reform. Oh, my goodness. And as Bartkop says, think of a small town in Oklahoma in 1880. The sheriff is the only government there is. Once you buy him off or kill him, then you can rape and rob and kill to your heart's content, which is the Republican Party's version of America. As usual, Bartkop is absolutely right, because Bartkop is a great American. And if you haven't gone to his website, I would just ask you, why the hell not? Bartkop.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
All the children on the street. All they was running out the front door, running out the back door, flying on their feet. Singing, Papa, oh, Mama, oh, come see what we have seen there. The mean individual stranded in a limousine. Everybody came running. Everybody said, Lord, 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 Lord. Everybody was on in. They gonna divvy up the reward. Hey, 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 they wonder where to be. Because he left the neighborhood like a rattlesnake shedding his skin. Well, it's...
The newest on the hoe from Wasilla is her, the Caribou Barbie's political action committee. I mean, this is astonishing. Apparently, she learned this from Sean Hannity. You know, Hannity continues to steal from the families of dead and severely wounded, if not profoundly wounded, American soldiers. He steals from those soldiers' widows and orphans. I hate to use the term widows and orphans. Sounds like something out of a Snidely Whiplash film, but that's what Hannity is. He steals from the families of dead people. Well, Sarah Palin has picked this up. Her political action committee has yet to donate to Republicans running in those 20 House races where she put little gun sights on the Democrats that they want to defeat. Her Sarah PAC. Took in $400,000 in the first quarter. It also had about $900,000 in the bank. That's $1,000,003. And it only gave $7,000 to candidates, plus an additional $2,000 to two other political action committees. None of her money, all this money, went to Republicans in the races that she targeted. Here's where the money went. Now, remember, this is just like Hannity. Hannity's Freedom concert scam. They spent $1.3 or $1.4 million on postage. In the age of the Internet, they spent $1.3, $1.4 million on postage. Oh, yeah. According to her tax returns, of all that money she collected, well, since its inception, the Sarah PAC has raised more than $2.5 million and spent $1.6 million, according to filings with the Federal Election Commission. Sarah PAC spent $402,000 in the first quarter of 2010. So what did she spend the money on this year? Consultants. $243,000 went to consultants, including almost $45,000 to Political Action Committee Treasurer Timothy Crawford. $21,000 for legal services. North Star Strategies took in $50,000, or Orion Strategies, $30,000. Now, consulting services include media strategy, fundraising, candidate research, and grassroots coalitions. Right. $42,000 went to travel, including more than $7,300 to de-ice private planes. Destinations for Team Palin included New Orleans, Cincinnati, Dallas, Phoenix, Nashville, Salt Lake City, Minneapolis. Fundraising and postage. The PAC spent more than $31,000 on postage and $25,000 on internet fundraising. And her photographer, Laura Bush's White House photographer, and now Sarah's photographer, Shayla Craighead, she got... She took in more money than the Sarah PAC gave to candidates. The photographer got $11,500 for photography. It's just incredible. Now, at the same time, some of the targeted candidates, some of the Democrats, are benefiting from Sarah Palin's ire. First-term Representative Betsy Markey, a Democrat of Colorado, she got a bullseye after she switched from a no to a yes vote on health care reform. She also ranked among Act Blue's top 10 fundraisers for March. A spokeswoman for Betsy Markey told the Colorado in Fort Collins that more than $355,000 of the $500,000 she raised came during the final 2 weeks of the first quarter after Sarah Palin put a target on her. Markey's spokeswoman said, quote, "We got calls from people furiously mad at what Palin put on her Facebook page. Frankly, Palin can send out solicitations anytime she wants." So it's having the effect that you would expect. Sane people are responding by sending money to the campaigns of the people that Sarah Palin adorned with gun sights on her Facebook page. And but here we go again. Palin raises $500,000, and so far the candidates that she says she's going to support, they got $7,000. $7,000 out of $400,000 raised. Again, this is a page book right, or page right out of the Sean Hannity playbook on how to screw the terminally stupid, how to say you're doing something, raise money, and then steal the money. Say you spent it on postage. Say you spent it on internet postings. Say you spent it on travel and consultants and all sorts of stuff. And you know what? The baggers are going to continue to send the hoe from Wasilla. Money, 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 lots of money. They're going to continue to do it. So, good. I say keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. But it's a scam. You know, what these people are running, every one of them, all these multimillionaire right-wingers, it's just Dr. Goofus's traveling medicine show. That's all it is. They continue to screw people left and right. And the people keep saying, here, take some more of my money. Here, can I give you more of my money? Here, please take more. Please take more. Oh, well. All right, we have a break. We'll come back after the top of the hour, so stick around. We're going to take some phone calls early on tonight because I'm losing my voice. So if you want to talk, 877-996-2556. 877-996-2556. Stick around, okay? I'll see you in a bit. Well, I'll be right back. Oh, screw it. Never mind. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. And let me see. We probably should start right in with some phone calls. During the break, an email here from Gorilla Monk, who writes, Mike, I just had a quick thought I wanted to share with you. All the wars, volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, and other natural disasters have left me wondering if it's ever occurred to the people of the Abrahamic religions that maybe their monotheism is wrong, and now Poseidon, Hades, and Ares are pissed? It sounds silly, especially to myself, a hardcore atheist, but if you're someone who believes in a Jewish zombie, his virgin mother, and his ego-driven dad, then silly beliefs are your specialty. That's from Gorilla Monk. Well, Gorilla Monk, you know, you could be right. A volcano eruption out of Iceland is really turning into a global disaster. And I understand there's one near that scientists are expecting to erupt. And it's supposed to be 100 times worse. They got to be kidding, right? 100 times worse? Well, I guess anything's possible. This is Pow in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yes, hi, Michael. This is I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm enjoying listening to your show. Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out.
I want to make a comment that nobody ever mentioned in the media or on the radio.
Okay.
Every time we have a Democratic president in the White House for the last two decades, those right-wing extremists, they always go out and start killing government officials. We got Timothy McVeigh during the Clinton year, and now we got the guy from Texas. Now we got President Obama and those guys, the guy from Texas, flew his helicopter into an IRS building. And this is stuff. It's really, really scaring me. I'm from Laos. I've been here 8 years, and this is scaring me. I go to the town hall, and, you know, you got those people start carry guns. It's scaring me, Michael.
Well, that's, I guess, fear is part of the price that we all have to feel now, living in a society that is chock-a-block with crazy people. In an orderly society, the teabaggers wouldn't exist, or if they did exist, they would be locked up someplace and heavily medicated. But we don't live in that kind of a society. All I can tell you, Pao, is just keep your head down and try to stay away from these people, because they will disappear. Every 15 or 20 years, you have a whole crop of these right-wing crazy people who pop up and raise hell and cause normal people to get upset, and then they disappear. So it'll happen that way this time also, trust me.
Well, I hope so. Last week I went to the tax day in the Capitol, and all I see is white people only. I don't see black, I don't see Asian, I don't see Hispanic.
Right.
And I wanted to just to check it out and see what's going
well,
on.
Well, yeah, that's because the teabag movement is purely racist. If it weren't for President Obama, if President Obama were a white man, you would never have seen the rise of this teabag movement. But that's where it comes from. It's strictly a racist movement.
Yeah, exactly. And I work in Minneapolis, and during the election 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And those teabaggers were considered themselves conservative then, or Republican, whatever they call themselves.
Right.
And I told them that I vote for interest. I don't vote for party. I'm an independent, but I usually side with the Democrat. And then,
right,
you know, they say, "Oh, you're gonna vote for a black man?" I say, "What's wrong with that? If his policy is gonna benefit me, why not?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just don't like the fact that he's black. I don't get it. This is America.
Well, that's the point. This is America. I don't know how much you know of our history, but you know, this country was founded on genocide and slavery. I mean, that's the only way. When white Europeans came here, Powell, they had to murder as many native peoples as they could, and the rest of them they stuck on so-called reservations in Germany in the 20s and 30s. They called those concentration camps. And then the wealth of this country, a huge chunk of the wealth, was built on slave labor. Which is,
wow.
That's what capitalism is all about, to get as close to slave labor as you possibly can. That's why people, you're from where? Thailand?
I'm from Laos.
Laos. People,
yep.
People in your country who work for American corporations, how much do they make a day?
They'll be lucky to make $30 a month.
Well, there
so
you go.
So you divide that about
right.
10 to 15 cents a day.
Right. There you go. So, I guess what I'm trying to say, Powell, don't be surprised when you see this kind of fascist or right-wing extremism in the United States. This is the United States. You know, you got to remember how this country came together, how it was founded. It was founded on genocide and slavery. Otherwise, there would be no United States.
Right. It's not a country that my family know about. All we know is America is the country of freedom, the country with opportunity, the country of successful. And now we came here, you know, you have people start carry gun, and then you have people start threatening those right. government officials. It's scary, you know.
Well, it's still possible to come to the United States and or be native born and start a small business, run your own business. make a few bucks, live a decent life, as long as you don't associate, at least this is the way I feel, as long as I don't associate with these crazy people, you hang out with crazy people and they start sucking your brains out. You just got to watch out for them, right?
Right, right.
All right, listen, Powell, thanks for calling. I hope you call again.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, man. Take care. Take care. I hear that a lot here in the Atlanta area. Atlanta suddenly has a huge, I say suddenly, within the past 15, 20 years, a huge immigrant population. A lot of people from South Asia. That would be Indians, Pakistanis, Afghans, people from Sri Lanka, people from Indonesia. Huge, huge South Asian population. And most of the people that come here, I will tell you, they come because they can come and open up a business, whether it is a dry goods business, a restaurant, a mechanic. We have within 5 miles of where we live, where our studio is, there are three or four car repair shops that are owned by people from Southeast Asia. One that is Thai, one that is Vietnamese, one that I think is Laotian. So yeah, it's still possible for immigrants if the white people don't try to kill them or brutalize them or marginalize them or have them arrested and thrown out of the country. It's still possible to come to this country and open a business, but you have to be very, very careful, not of government. Government will help immigrants. Government will help people get established. You have to be very, very careful of the anti-immigration crowd, the racist, the lynch mob. You have to be careful of these people, because they will either harm you or use you as a means of exploiting other people. That's just what Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the rest of these pigs are all about. Right? Divide and conquer. All right, quick break here. We'll be back. Take more of your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 22 past the hour. Before we go back to your phone calls, we have something coming up, a two-parter from Bob Alexander on Thursday and Friday of this week. If you smoke cigarettes, you gotta hear this. All right? It'll be Thursday and Friday. Yeah, both of the things I'm gonna share with you that Bob wrote are about the length of a moment with Bob. But he has stumbled on something that, I think is worth sharing, and I'll tell you why. Because cigarettes will kill you, and I know a lot of people that listen to this program do smoke. And having been a smoker for decades myself, I know that it is next to impossible to stop. I was eventually able to, I don't know how, but I did 8 years ago. Which doesn't mean I'm not going to still develop lung cancer. I may. But I want you to hear this. If you're a smoker, I just want you to hear it. All right? That's this Thursday and Friday. You didn't know about that, did you? No, Kathy didn't know about it. This is what he called about the other day. And I want you to just listen to this Thursday and Friday night. We'll do it the first hour both nights because it is absolutely essential just to listen. That's all. Just listen to it. It'll sound like a commercial. It's not, because we have no interest, no money interest in what he's going to talk about. Neither does he, for that matter. But he wants to share with you what he's discovered. All right? We do that? Okay. I'll remind you again. Don't worry. Drew is in Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Mike. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
You bet. I just wanted to let your listeners know that if they get a chance, Chris Hedges has an awesome piece that today was Encounter in a Common Dream.
Yeah, I read that. I read that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Which the interview essentially has a...
Talks about Chomsky, how Chomsky has struggled to all of his adult life to educate us and set us free, and how he's been totally marginalized. As a matter of fact, I printed it off. I may get to that later on this week and just read it to people and share it with them.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening, because in that piece, Chomsky mentions how he's never seen the United States and the angry white male phenomenon as bad as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
He references back to the 30s and 40s. How at that time you had an active labor movement, the CIO was organizing people. Now you have none of that. This angry white male stuff is in a vacuum, and of course you have the Becks and the right wing radio and that, this and that, Fox News brainwashing them. So that's what you're getting now. And he says it's pretty frightening to see what's going on. He's never seen it like this.
Well, as he talks about manufactured consent. Consent. I'm sorry, my brain is...
So in other words, you get a lot of the American populace that buys into the pro-corporate, pro-financial...
What I was going to say, what we also have going on here is manufactured frustration and paranoia.
There you go. Yeah.
That is coming from nowhere, absolutely nowhere. If people want to feel paranoid, and God knows, I think a little paranoia is healthy for everybody, it should be focused... On the source from which it's coming, and it's damn sure not coming from Barack Obama. I mean, Obama is just another mainstream center-right president of the United States who's trying to do a few things for the people, but, owes his soul to corporate America, just like every president. So,
because he's mildly populist, mildly.
Very mildly, right.
And because he's done a few things to upset the apple cart in corporate America and Wall Street, then he's going to get the vitriol and hatred from
sectors. Just like this craziness that happened today in D.C. with these gun nuts who were able to carry their weapons into a federal park, into a national park, because of legislation signed by Barack Obama. And yet, you know, they carry their guns into federal property because Obama signed legislation, and they still rail against Obama and says he's taking away their liberty. I mean, that's insanity. That's a perfect description of people who are crazy, crazier than loons.
Yeah, the angry white male phenomenon in the United States is something that it could burgeon out of control if we get a charismatic leader of a Glenn Beck type. That could really...
I think what Chomsky said, if we got a charismatic leader who was intelligent...
Correct.
And
Beck isn't quite that.
No.
He gets a lot of people brainwashed, but he isn't intelligent enough.
If there is one thing that Beck and Palin and Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly and Savage are all on the same page about, it is their total lack of intelligence, their total stupidity. Hey, thanks, Drew. I appreciate you checking in. Maybe I will share that article with people later on this week. Thanks a lot, man. Take care. We'll be right back.
Are all rich and free, but they changed my mind to an endless tomb when they took my only son from me.
Progressive Talk. It's Mike Malloy.
What? What? What was that? Richard Cohen, in addition to being a columnist for the Washington Post, one that I seldom agree with, also writes a blog at the Post website. He had a quick one today that I did agree with. He titled it The Tea Party's Moment of Truth. And Richard Cohen writes, on Meet the Press yesterday, David Gregory asked Marsha Blackburn, a very Republican congresswoman from Tennessee, whether she approved of Representative Michelle Bachmann referring to the Obama administration as, quote, this gangster government, end quote. Blackburn had just finished, excuse me for coughing in your ear there, Blackburn had just finished telling David Gregory that the Tea Party is wonderful because it's about truth. She said, quote, what they want, the Tea Party, teabaggers, is leaders who are going to say, look, we're, well, you may not agree with us, but we're going to tell you the truth. We're going to tell you where we stand, end quote. Now, that's what this woman had just said. So where did Blackburn stand on Bachmann's remark made at a teabag rally? Gregory wanted to know, quote, are those views that you would stand behind? That kind of rhetoric? End quote. In other words, is United States of America like Venezuela or Cuba or Syria or Belarus? Or was this another example of extremely tasteless rhetoric? An incredibly un-Tea Party-ish lie uttered by a politician who had contempt, utter contempt, if I can editorialize, for her audience. I held my breath, Cohen writes. This threatened to be a moment of truth, candor, and nearly unprecedented boldness. But Marsha Blackburn was in a bit of a fix. After all, conservatives have been on a bender lately with comments like, you lie, and baby killer, not to mention the allegation that Barack Obama is a socialist. Or as Newt Gingrich and Jim Garlow phrased it in a recent Washington Post op-ed, that Christian conservatives are up against, quote, a secular socialist culture, end quote, which is as close as I would like to come, thank you, to a godless Menshevik culture of the sort found on the Upper West Side of New York. Still, while the culture is abhorrent, the bagels are pretty good. Ah, but I digress. We must get back to Gutsball Blackburn, as she will henceforth be known. Did she agree? Did she agree with the statement by Bachmann that the Obama administration is a gangster government? Did she agree? Did she approve? Gangster government. Blackburn said, you know, I choose a different rhetoric, but that was not what Gregory asked, and he said so. Wait, one sec. Is what Bachmann said over the line. Is it over the line? The congresswoman from truth, from candor, from telling people where she stood, summoned all her political courage and said, those are the words that she chose in the statements that she made. Pathetic. Well, of course. They're swine. Male and female, Republicans or conservatives, are swine. The elected representatives that are elected by these brain-dead constituents, the representatives, the senators, the members of the House, they're swine. Absolutely useless swine. They are without courage. They are without honor. They are without ethics. They are without dignity. They will say anything. And then, then when called to defend their statements, they will run and hide like scared little 3-year-old, 4-year-old girls, boys, kids, you know what I'm saying? No offense to little girls. Dave is in Chicago listening on XM. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. You guys took a vacation a couple weeks ago, and There was a best of on Monday, I believe, and I'm listening to it. Suddenly, there was a familiar voice. It was mine. One of my phone calls that I blew into you about the 9/12 rally in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, when I went up against 45 people at a 9/12 rally and shoved nameplate plates.
Right. Yeah.
So on Thursday, April 15th, I did it again, except this time I got it on video and got it up on YouTube. I hope you'd be interested in taking a look at it.
Sure.
It was in Naperville, Illinois. I went up against several hundred people, pretended to be one of them, even had a Tea Party Patriot hat on and everything.
Send me a link. Send me a link. When you're done with the phone call, send me a link.
I'm not capable like that. I can tell you what it is.
Okay.
Deprogramming program, Tea Party Crasher. Deprogramming program, Tea Party Crasher.
Tea Party, what is it? Say it again.
Tea Party Crasher. Deprogramming program, Tea Party Crasher.
Deprogramming.
Deprogramming, right. Because what I do is I effectively deprogram conservatives from the, I mean, they're brainwashed, they're programmed.
Okay, deprogramming, Tea Party Crasher.
Deprogramming program, Tea Party Crasher.
Okay, I'll try to find that. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, so, what I utilize is a form of exit counseling. It's very aggressive exit counseling.
Uh-huh.
And I shove name, states, places, facts, figures down their throat. But doing it in front of several hundred people, they have that groupthink that goes against me. You know, but I got to them. I got to them, and it's very good. And at the very end, I crush Glenn Beck like a spent cigarette under my foot. You're going to love it.
Oh, my gosh. How did you do that? Or do I just have to look at the video?
Oh, no, Forbes magazine. He's in Forbes magazine where he says, I am not political. I could give a flying crap about the political process. We are an entertainment company. And it's like, why would he do that? Oh, yeah, his listeners wouldn't crack Forbes magazine if their lives depended on it.
That's true.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Check it out.
So he says he's just an entertainer and a piss poor one at that, I might add.
Exactly. Well, he kind of had to do that because it's Forbes magazine. If he walks in and tries to be Joe Economy and Joe Politics, they'd laugh him out of the room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, you know, the ignorance of that boy is just crushing. I don't think he almost makes Limbaugh look brilliant. And
yeah.
Limbaugh is nothing but a rumor-mongering, drug-addled pig. But Beck is so grossly ignorant and very wealthy. I mean, in this country, you know, who was it that said, was it P.T. Barnum said, no one's ever gone broke underestimating the wit and intelligence of the American public. And I think Beck took that to heart, and he's made himself rich, just like Sarah Palin is making herself rich, doing the same thing. It's incredible.
Absolutely. It's formulaic.
Yeah.
Formulaic.
Yeah. Well, I'll check it out. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, man.
Later. All right. Take care. I got to see that. Yeah. Mark is in San Francisco listening on Green 960. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
The word you're looking for is the Republican Party are prostitutes for corporate America. That's all they are.
There you go. Thank you.
And, you know, Mike, the reason why you're getting all this hate, lies, and racism is to try to erase the 8 years of Republicans destroying this country. And that's why we're getting this rhetoric. And I'll tell you, if these people ever get into power, Mike, I mean, they scare me to death.
Yeah, I don't think they will. The media loves them because they are so outrageous and they're such clowns and such jerks. And this is where the cameras go. They want to see crazy people. You know, if you have just intelligent people, like, say, Noam Chomsky, and sitting around discussing issues, that's not going to make it on corporate media because it's not this fiery rhetoric. It's not people jumping around like crazy folks. So that's where the cameras go.
You're right, Mike. You know, Mike, the other thing is on our side, on the left, we have 8 years of an administration that we feel should be prosecuted. There is a lot of resentment, and there's a lot of rage on our side, too,
right,
if they want to go there. I mean, we want to do things peacefully, but if they think that we're any less pissed off on our side, there's a lot of us that aren't, Mike.
Well, yeah, and the thing that always gets me about these surveys, especially here lately, about how little faith people have in the federal government. Well, what the hell? After 8 years of the Bush crime family, who would have any faith in government at all? I mean, you know, that's what's being reflected in those in those surveys. It has nothing to do with Obama, for God's sake. He's been in office, what, a year and 4 months.
Oh, I know, Mike. It's a shame. And you know, the sad part about it is we've got to educate a lot of these people to really open up their eyes and try to realize who are the real culprits in the problems of this country. And well, when you look at what the Republicans have done, mm-hmm. they destroyed this country so bad, Mike, I don't know how anybody could vote Republican again, especially with the group they got now. They're all corporate prostitutes. That's all they are.
Yeah, aside from the fact that they're all crazy. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you checking in, pal. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shirt? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play.
Before the hour, yeah, go to YouTube. It's titled Tea Party Crasher Deprogramming Program. Runs about 8 minutes. First 2 minutes is Brother Dave explaining what he was about. I've only watched about the first 3 minutes, so check it out. Tea Party Crasher Deprogramming Program. And during the next break, I'll watch the rest of it. Jim is in San Clemente, listening on XM. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike. I really need your help. I have a friend, and he's been flirting with the Tea Party movement, and I warned him not to go to the rally. And he went anyway. And I said, you know, on the surface, it might be some nice message, but there's going to be a core group of this movement that's going to start blowing up government buildings. They're going to target policemen to kill them. They're going to rob banks. They're going to want to overthrow our government, and you don't want to be associated with these people. Is that a fair thing to say?
I guess to some degree, but on the other hand, they mostly are just blowhards. I don't think any of them are serious about anything. They...
Well, you don't think it's possible that there'll be a splinter group that would want to, like, blow up buildings and kill policemen and try to overthrow our government?
I think in any mass movement, left or right, you have a certain element that goes for the violence. Yeah.
I told him that he shouldn't associate with that violent element, and he said, it won't matter. I said, if you want to run for public office, it'll come back to haunt you because you can't unring a bell.
Right. Well,
somebody plants a bomb or does something like that, they're non gratis. You don't want to associate with them.
But what do you mean? But what do you mean by associate?
Well, I mean you wouldn't want to go over to their house, their home, or socialize with somebody who is a terrorist.
Well, no, absolutely not. But it makes me wonder if your friend is discerning enough to realize that these people are stupid to begin with. Jim, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. And therefore, if your friend has some basis of some affinity to hang out with people this ignorant and this stupid as to hang out with teabaggers on a social basis, I would have some questions about your friend. Usually, if you spend a minute or two max talking with or listening to these people, you realize the depth of their ignorance, their cultural ignorance, their political ignorance, their historical ignorance, their scientific ignorance. And as far as their propensity towards violence, I think about 99% of that is cheap talk, because most baggers are cowards. They're just out there because it's a huge mob, or what appears to be huge to them. I don't know. As far as your friend is concerned, he sounds a little dodgy to me, frankly. He really does, right? Who would want to hang out on a social basis with someone who attends these bagger rallies with the idea in their head that they are doing something positive or something good for themselves or good for the country? I mean, who would want to hang out with people like that? And besides, I think my caller from San Clemente was attempting, although he failed, to make a point. And the point, rather than just coming out and challenging me, he was trying to set up a situation that you know, the kind of situation. I'm used to that. You know, I've been doing talk radio since you were still nursing at your mama's breast, my friend. So when you call me with that kind of rhetoric, I'll play along for a little bit. But eventually I have to dump you and move on to somebody that makes a little sense. You know what I'm saying, Sparky? That's all right, though. Keep trying. That's right with me. You can continue to try. I have yet to meet a bagger type or a conservative or a right-winger who has the courage or the stupidity, whatever you want to call it, to challenge me or this program head-on. It just can't be done. I spent a lot of time over the years inviting these freaks to call in, and it just turns out to be a waste of time, a waste of effort. There's nothing there. There's no there there. All right. We are coming up on a break here momentarily. So when we come back, we will continue to take your phone calls. A couple of things I want to add into the mix. I hope I get to it tonight. Maybe not. Check out Dave from Chicago's video. I just took, like I said, I took a look at part of it, and I'm going to look at the rest of it during the break. Tea Party Crasher, Deprogramming Program. That's all you need. Tea Party Crasher, Deprogramming Program. And there it is. Anytime some conservative or right-winger or bagger wants to call this program, you know, I've said before, I've given you mixed messages. I've said, don't bother calling because you're stupid and dumber than dirt. And I've also said, you know, call in if you think you can put together a coherent sentence. I guess you're going to have to roll the dice there and decide whether or not you want to call in if you're a right winger. But usually if you do call in, if you're not too crazy, Kathy will give you a shot. But you only last about 12 seconds on the program. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour. During the breaks, to people who are writing to us, we know that the mic is open. It's open deliberately during the breaks because it's not going over the air. So we leave the mics open during the breaks so you can hear the chit chat going on in here. It's okay. All right. 7 and a half past the hour. This is the Molloy program. This email is from Kim, who's an attorney in St. Paul. Hi, Mike. You asked Powell, your caller a few minutes ago, whether he was familiar with the history of the United States as it's based upon genocide and slavery. Powell made your job easy when he simply replied Laos as to where he's from. However, Powell is an ethnic Hmong name, and he had a slight Hmong accent. While the Hmong in the U.S. may not know the older history of the U.S., I assure you they're intimately familiar with this country's recent history of imperialist antics and genocide, as they were recruited by the CIA initially to rescue our downed pilots when we were, quote, not at war, end quote, in Laos. Our government assured the Hmong people that good old Uncle Sam would protect them if events ever turned against them. Only it turns out that when we said we'd protect them, we meant we'd send helicopters for General Vang Pao and his inner circle and leave the rest of our allies in the field to be slaughtered by the invading Vietnamese and ultimately by the Lao government. I'm sure you know this history. I only write to you because I work with so many Hmong clients in my immigration practice. Excuse me. And every time I think of their history, it absolutely fills me with rage. Yet the Hmong people I work with don't hold a grudge and remain unrelentingly loyal to America and perhaps, more importantly, to the idea of America. I often wish I possessed a tenth of their optimism. Kim, and her last name, and her business address and phone number and fax number, which I'm not going to share with you. Thanks, Kim. Yeah, I am familiar with the tragedy of the Hmong people. Thanks to Nixon's expansion of the illegal war into Laos, Cambodia, any place else the rat bastard could invade. It's always Republicans. You ever notice that? Mike is in Miami listening online. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm okay. How are you?
Pretty good down here in the Republican zone, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I'm calling about our legislature down here. They rammed through a bill, to use a popular term there, about the teachers' pay being linked to testing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
Sort of, but go ahead and elucidate.
Well, what happened was that they rammed it through, and it went to the governor, Charlie Crist, and the teachers protested, the parents protested, and believe it or not, he listened and vetoed the bill,
mm-hmm.
which is a rarity with the Republican Party, mm-hmm. someone standing up to his own party and doing something for the people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of actually it was handed to him on a platter, but pulling the strings behind this whole thing was Jeb Bush, so it was kind of a way to get back at him, I think.
What do you think is going to happen to Charlie Crist?
Well, he's got my vote if he runs for an independent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, I would be inclined to do the same in the state where I living in Florida, and he were running for the Senate. I realize he's a Republican governor, but on the other hand, I would agree with you. I think if he runs as an independent, I would probably vote for him.
I just think that the whole thing, when you dig deeper on this, and somehow Jeb Bush has his hands into all this testing, and he stands to make the money, and the guy that he got to put the bill through, Thrasher, they're all connected. It's all intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jeb Bush in the background, it's like he's shadow governor. He can control the legislature, and he doesn't have to answer to the people or to the politics.
Right, right.
So, you know, I mean, I empathize with you because I have friends that live in Georgia, and you are like in ground zero of people that are just so closed-minded. And so I know what you go through, kind of.
Yeah, it's incredible here. The only saving grace is we have a couple of representatives, just like you all do in Florida, into the House or the Senate, who are not insane right-wingers. We have a couple in the state of Georgia, not many, but we have a couple here in Georgia that whatever's left of liberals or Democrats or progressives kind of cling to stop from going under. Georgia is one of the most regressive states. It wasn't always that way. Georgia had a lot of, it was run by Democrats. Granted, they were, Southern Democrats, but we had white as well as non-white, male as well as female. So, the Democratic Party in Georgia was pretty diverse, when you consider the South. And, that all changed. I don't know why it changed. I guess because things were going too well here in the state of Georgia for your average, Georgia cracker. So they decided, you know, to punish themselves for having a decent economy, a decent real estate, situation going. Unemployment in this state was around 3.5%. Now it's up around, 11. Republican voters do this all the time. Just when things are going well for them, they think, wait a minute, I'm losing all my freedom. I know, I'll throw out the Democrats and vote Republican and watch everything crash, then I'll be happy. It's insane. It's just crazy. But you're right, Mike.
Well, Georgia is our kissing cousins, and we can see the downfall started with Jeb. And the same scenario. All Democrats, the state was great, and then now they control everything.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. Thanks, Mike.
All right, have a good night.
Okay, you too. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. A lot of people are... people are emailing me about the Dave's video. It is deprogramming program Tea Party Crasher. Just go to YouTube and type that in. It'll come up. I could give you the YouTube address, but I it's just X's and Q's and numbers and yada 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 yada. All right. Oh, and by the way, I got a couple emails from people who said, I hope Kathy's procedure went well, because we were off Friday. The procedure, and if you've been listening to the program, you know what I'm talking about. That's not scheduled until the 29th of this month. So, thanks for the good wishes, but it's not until, a week from Thursday? A week from Thursday. And we will be off that night. Yes?
I don't think there's a doctor in America that does anything on Fridays. It's astonishing. I would love to have it on a Friday, but the closest I could get was a Thursday.
Well, they say that you'll be able to come back to work on Friday. If you feel the least bit shaky, let's take Friday off, too.
Woohoo!
We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee.
My song!
Across the plains of Texas.
Hallelujah!
From sea to shining sea.
I love this song.
Detroit down to Houston.
Detroit.
And New York to L.A.
New York to L.A.
Well, it's bright in every American heart. And it's time we
sing it. Yeah, let's just rip it open. Go ahead. Yee-hoo! No liner, just play that music.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you played."
This is when Charlie Daniels was young.
"I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul."
Before he started doing Geico commercials.
"The boy said, 'My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, you're rising up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals in cards. And if you win, you'll get this shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul."
Oh, is that all? Oh, no. I love that song. Why is all the music I love performed by right-wing redneck freaks? Huh?
Well, you're not a big Lynyrd Skynyrd fan.
Well, they're not. No, that song.
To your credit.
No, you understand, don't you, that song about Sweet Home Alabama, they were being ironic.
Mm-hmm.
They were not.
I'm in heaven, love the girl.
Yeah, they were being ironic. They you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, they're a bunch of dyed-in-the-wool liberals. 22 past the hour. Again, check out Dave's video, Deprogramming Program, Tea Party Crasher. He's had about 300 views. There was about 90 and when I first mentioned it, so y'all are looking at it. But check it out. This guy has a lot of brass, Dave does, to do what he did. So check it out. Check it out now. Bob in Tampa writes, "Mike, thank you for referring to the Tea Party Crasher deprogramming program video. That took a lot of balls, what our friend did. Love your show on Sirius 146. Yeah, it did. But Dave is pretty cool, right? All right. Where are we? We're here. Jared is in Dayton listening on Sirius. Hey, Jared.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, man. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Just wanted to make a little bit of a comment for our friend earlier who has a friend who was thinking about joining up with the Teabaggers.
Uh-huh. Well, no, wait. You understand that call was, that was a right-winger who was trying to set me up. He has no more interest in joining the Teabaggers, and he doesn't have any friends. What he was trying to do is to get me to agree with him, and then he would say, "Well, what about Barack Obama and William Ayers?"
Exactly.
Right. So just a bunch of hog snot. I mean, these guys got to come up with a better act than that kind of childish nonsense. I swear to God, they do.
I have something for our friends who truly are on the fence, mm-hmm. if they are. The misinformed Tea Party, according to the Joint Committee on Taxation, which is a bipartisan organization, no taxpayer anywhere in the United States has had his or her taxes increased as a consequence of Barack Obama's policies.
Right.
That's straight from Forbes.
And as a matter of fact, 98% of Americans have had their income tax rates rates reduced.
Correct.
Right.
I think that's all you really need to say to anybody in the Tea Party.
But they don't believe it. Their brains have been totally sucked out, sanitized or hanitized, and put back in their punkin' little heads, and they don't. I mean, you could if Barack Obama showed up for a press conference tomorrow with a guy in a robe and sandals and a beard who spoke Aramaic or some ancient Mediterranean language, and he said, "Listen, Jesus is back. Here's Jesus Christ." You know what and Jesus stood there and said, "Hey, Brock, hey, world," and said, "Now watch this." And he went, and he changed a bunch of wine into water. You know what the Teabaggers would do? They would say, "No, that's not real."
That's correct, sir. But I thought that was a very valid point for our friends on our side.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're right. You're right. Thanks, Jared. I appreciate you checking in. You know that's true. Teabaggers are brain dead. They have been murdered by Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean the Parrot Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, and the rest of these freaks, they're brain dead. Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt. What's that other one? The lower level. What's that other guy's name? Maltzberg or something. Mark Levine. Yeah, there's just a whole clutch of them. But, the average bagger, if you walk up to her or him and said, do you not understand that your taxes have gone down since Obama, your income tax has gone down since Obama was freely elected? You know, they would just say, he's from Kenya. He's illegal. I don't care. Don't confuse me with the facts. And to that, I just say, dumb bastards. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
It's so easy, it's a sin. You're gonna want to jump right in. You can always depend on propaganda. Life is so complex, so confusing. Everyone's just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up their day, keep the facts out of their way. Just simplify the complex. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Propaganda, propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda, propaganda.
Right from the left, it's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Okay, now Blake here says he's a Tea Party member. Is that right, Blake?
Yes.
What does that mean, being a Tea Party member? I thought that.
Well, it just means you sympathize with their views that government is too big. We want to reduce the size of government.
All right, now where would you start?
Where would I start? I would start by cutting compensation to all government employees because they're
now, wait a second. You
45%.
Wait a second. Compensation to all government employees. What does that mean? Cut their pay?
That means their pay and their benefits, which are 45%.
If you're serious, that's such a pissy little amount. Blake, if you're serious that government is too big, why don't you insist that the war budget be cut? Why don't you insist that these 90 or 100 countries where we have military bases, that they be closed? I mean, if you're really serious, why not do that?
Well, I would look at that, too. I'm not a
Why do you want to take paychecks away from people?
Well, because I feel that the government...
Well, no, it doesn't make any difference what you feel. How would you like if somebody took your paycheck away?
Well, of course it matters what I feel.
No, it doesn't. How would you like it if somebody took away your... Do you work for a living?
I own a business.
Okay. Well, how would you like it if somebody took your business away? What would you do?
Well, would you like to take away gold?
No. Come on. I'll give you about another 10 seconds, then I'm going to move on. How would you like it if somebody came up to you and said, look, we got to cut expenses here in Huntington Beach. We're going to close your business.
Well, what about if government employees...
You can't answer that, so never mind. Go away. See, that's what I mean. I give these people ample chance to answer just a straightforward question. You know, this is somebody wants to put people out of work. I mean, Jesus Christ. Oops, I'm not supposed to say that. You want to put people out of work. Why? Why would, you know, he talks about government's too big. And then when you try to pin these weasels down and say, where's it too big? Government employees. I want to cut government compensation. I want to take away their benefits. That's Nazism. Purely and simply. Well, what about you?
Well, I'm my own business.
Oh, really? So you're immune. Well, if you take away all the money from all these government workers, who's going to come into your shop and buy your junk? I mean, and see, I don't even care what the guy does. I don't care where he's from. It doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't. That's the kind of me first, me second, me third selfishness that is so indicative of these right-wingers. I mean, you know, it's me, 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 me. I want them unemployed. Me. I have a small business. Me. And Barack Obama just made it easier for small businesses to stay alive. And this guy probably doesn't have a clue. Go away. Jesus, God. See, I try. It just doesn't work. Blue is calling in from Queensland, Australia. Hey, Blue.
Hey, good day, Mike.
Good day to you.
You know, I thought I was hallucinating the other day. I wasn't quite sure what I was listening to, but it sounded rather like somebody impersonating Mike Malloy, impersonating Long John Silver or somebody like that, Captain Blood or somebody.
What did I do now?
Well, I checked with Cherie. She was listening, and she said, no, that's Mike attempting to speak Oz. He's trying to sound like Rupert Murdoch. And I said, all right, I'll take your word for it.
But, yeah, listen, I'm not, that's what he sounds like to our ears up here in the vast wasteland of the U.S. of A. That's what he sounds like. He sounds like a pirate. He does. He sounds just like a pirate.
Yeah, that's right. I want to caution you, though, Mike, because there are people here in Australia, some of them older people with serious medical conditions, very delicate.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing might trigger a serious situation.
I hear you. Okay, I'll watch it in the future, I promise.
Yeah. I was speaking to Kathy before about some people that are very close to us, Australians who are living in your country.
Uh-huh.
And we've recently heard from them. They're planning to come back. They're coming home. They'd originally planned to stay in the United States. They've been there for about 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And they had endured, you know, several years of the horror with Bush and Cheney and the rest of them.
Right.
And they had high hopes that things were going to change, you know, with the recent election and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got a communication from them the other day indicating they're going to be coming back because, all in all, they can't see that anything is really changing, that most of the policies of the Bush administration are being continued. But perhaps... the thing that really triggered this was, I don't know whether you've heard about this. I was astonished when I heard about it from them, but they had been thinking about buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather not say where because of the atmosphere in your country now. But they applied for a loan, and they were told that they would have to sign a document, which in essence... they were swearing allegiance to the United States, and they had to swear that they didn't belong to a terrorist organization in order to get the loan.
Good Lord. Are they citizens? They're not citizens of the U.S.
No, they're not.
Do they have odd last names?
Well, no. Not to my knowledge.
All right. Do you know...
The strange thing is they were shocked by this, and frankly, I'd never heard of this myself, but... So they said, look, this is outrageous. I'm not going to do this.
Uh-huh.
And they went to another lender, and they were asked to do precisely the same thing with the other lender.
Now, are these banks? Are they? Do you know who the lenders were? Not by name, but what sort of?
That's a detail I don't have.
What sort of institution? I never heard of such a thing. I'm not saying it's not the case. It could very well be the case. I've never heard of that.
But on top of that, as I say, they've been living for about 7 years now, closer to 8 years actually.
Uh-huh.
And on top of that, they've got an American friend who's a teacher in a grammar school, and this guy's been teaching for quite a while. And apparently, when he went in to have his contract renewed,
mm-hmm.
He was asked to take an oath himself that he wasn't a member of the terrorist organization. And so he said, look, I'm not going to do that. I've been teaching in this school for I don't know how long, actually, but quite some time, apparently. And I've never done anything disloyal or anything like that. And they said, well, you've got to sign this thing. You've got to take this oath. And he said, no. So he's out of a job.
Now, this is another Australian citizen?
No, this is an American. This is a friend of theirs.
This is astonishing. I've heard nothing of this. I have... I can't think of any friends I have who've recently applied for home loans or teaching positions, but
I've never heard of it myself.
Never.
But apparently, from what our people are telling us, this is quite common. And most people, of course, simply go on and sign the thing or take the oath or whatever it is they're required to do in order to get the loan or keep the job.
Mm-hmm.
But in their case, they said, look, no, the way things are going, we've decided we're not going to stay. And this other fellow who was teaching apparently said, look, it's not worth my sense of self-esteem and dignity to take an oath swearing that I'm not a member of a terrorist organization.
Well, Blue, I will rely on our vast erudite audience to check that out. And if there's any truth to it whatsoever, to send me, not that I doubt your friends, I'm just saying, I've not heard of this. This is crazy. If one is required in this country now to take a loyalty oath when one wants to go to work or buy a house, then I will be the first one to say it's time for me to leave. I've never heard of anything.
Well, I would be interested to hear from your other listeners there in the States, if anybody out there listening has had this experience, whether they've signed the thing or not.
Right, right.
If they'd call in, so.
All right, well, let's see. Again, Blue, if this is true, it's something that is will be a complete shock to me. I can't imagine such a thing. Maybe it was misunderstood. A lot of times people from Australia have a hard time understanding Americans. Just kidding. But if someone has had that experience, we'll find out about it very quickly, okay?
All right.
All right. Thanks, Blue. I appreciate you checking in. That's an odd one to me. Has anyone heard about a loyalty oath? Or something that says, you're not a member of a terrorist organization? What the hell? I don't know. It's bizarre. Not that I would doubt such a thing in this country now. Wait a second. Here, Bob sends me something. Letter from Wendy so-and-so, the Cal State Fullerton faculty member who was fired from her job because of her refusal to sign the California State Employee Loyalty Oath. Wendy is a Quaker and a pacifist. Her letter asked the governor to sign Senate Bill 1322, which would amend the existing law requiring loyalty oaths. Well, now this is in California. But I don't, and states certainly can, in certain occupations, I guess, can do anything they damn well please. Maybe that's what Blue's friends are talking about. Well, there's a quick answer. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Bruce writes in regarding the teabaggers. The occasional teabagger that can generate a thought of their own will fall back on the huge debt. That's their default argument. They don't seem to grasp that it's 100% George W. Bush's debt. Clinton's budget would have paid it off by now. We still wouldn't have any jobs, but we wouldn't be in debt. Sometimes you can get the light bulb to come on above the head of a teabagger, but it only takes a minute for it to burn out from the overload. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mike is in Newport Beach, California, listening on Sirius. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike Malloy.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, Roger and I are enjoying your program here in coastal Southern California.
Oh, Roger and you?
Uh-huh.
Who's Roger?
Oh, just a friend who adores you.
Oh, okay. Hi, Roger.
He says hello.
Oh, okay. Is that your dog?
No, that's just my neighbor down the way here.
Oh, okay.
there's a whistleblower who's in jail right now.
Uh-huh.
And I heard this on Amy Goodman's Democracy in America show a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything about it on any news source that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you were aware of this situation. The fellow's is a officer with UBS Bank.
Oh yeah. I've heard about that. It's not a news story. This is a guy who I forget the exact details, but you're absolutely right. He was busted for not necessarily for whistleblowing, but he released documents. Is that it? That were not his to release. And which I think is kind of a half-assed excuse for stopping a whistleblower. But isn't that what happened?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of the story, yes.
Can I give his name?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Name is Bradley Birkenfeld.
Right.
And he's the a former officer with this Swiss bank
right.
here in America. And they were rounding up millionaires and billionaires to get them to put their money in their offshore bank.
Right.
So they wouldn't have to pay any taxes.
Sure.
And I suspect one of the reasons why he's in jail and nothing's being done about it is that one of Obama's fundraisers, maybe his prime fundraiser, is with UBS Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And one of John McCain's prime fundraisers was with UBS Bank, and that's probably why the issue was not brought up during the election. So,
I don't know. I don't know to what degree politics factors in. I'm sure to some degree. I just don't know. I'm familiar with the story only insofar as it appeared in the New York Times. I don't have the. All the details at all, Mike, and it's one that I should know more about for sure.
He should be gotten out of jail because this discourages any kind of whistleblowing going on in the banking system.
Sure, and
so it's,
the goal, of course, is to get whistleblowers to disappear.
Whose goal?
The goal of corporate America. Make them all disappear. Let me see if I can do some further research in the story, Mike. I'm sure somebody will send me links to some of the details. As far as fundraising for McCain or Obama, I guess fundraisers can have that much power to get somebody jailed. I'm going to show my naivete, though, and say I just wonder if that's the case. But somebody will send me information on it, I'm sure, Mike. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. I wish I knew more about stuff like that. But, you know, what happens is I'll see these articles or stories in the mainstream media, the popular press, or not the popular press. You know, I'll go to alternative press, Mother Jones, The Nation, The Truth Dig, wherever. And I'll see these stories, and I know damn good and well I should familiarize myself with them. And I don't do it because my excuse is there's just not time. That's why I rely on you guys, right? Jeremy's in Burlington, Vermont. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello, Mike.
Welcome to the program.
First-time caller.
Uh-huh.
I want to call and say that... Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, hear you just fine.
I want to call and say that I have this theory of Glenn Beck and his type of rodeo house. I believe they're almost like wolf in sheep's clothing.
That who is Beck?
Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, you name it. They're all in the same boat, I believe.
Well, I think they're people who have figured out how to run a scam and get rich. I mean, that's pretty much to me. I don't believe those guys believe what they put out there at all. Because if they did, they'd have to be crazy. It's kind of a scam. Just like, I hate to say this, but back in the 60s, Abbie Hoffman, for example, who I've met before he died, I've had conversations with him, he really didn't think that he was going to get 100,000 people around the Pentagon and levitate it. But that's what he talked about. And he didn't believe it. you know, to Hoffman and some of the people in his cohort, the whole thing was a scam, a joke, not to make money, but just to raise hell. Just like when he printed, when he published a book, the title of it was "Steal This Book." I mean, come on.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I think that Forbes article that gentleman brought up earlier puts the nail in the coffin, just proves it once again.
Which article?
The one that Glenn Beck mentioned that he was an entertainer and he didn't give a rat basically about anything he says in politics.
Yeah. Well, that's it's not surprising to me to hear that. Jeremy, we're out of time. I hope you call again, man. We're just flat out of time for tonight. It's not surprising to me. It shouldn't be surprising to anybody to hear Beck occasionally or any of these people speak the truth. I mean, look what Sarah Palin's doing. Same thing. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. Thanks for hanging out. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Results may